was a mighty nation, blessed above all of creation. It was a rare and precious pearl, conceived in faith and liberty, home of the brave, land of the free. It was the envy of the world. But this shining city on a hill has turned from the Creator's will and let evil take control. Now the reckless men who lead them want to strip away their freedom and to steal their very soul. Now it's smoke and mirrors, switching bait, criticize and confiscate, and let the guilty walk away. In this once righteous, godly nation, in the halls of education, they forbid a child to pray. They say we need to spread the wealth. They pretend to guard the health of the feeble and the poor, while the hand they hold behind their back confuses and conceals the fact that the wolf is at the door. There's an unseen hand that pulls strings. It makes his little puppets dance to every song he sings. As the night folds in on a rising tide, look beyond the shadows, behold a pale horse ride.
Yes, behold that pale horse. Resurrect Republic Truth Radio broadcast on RBN. Now we're going to start off this second hour with what we were going to do the first hour, but we had to respond to certain things and report certain things. The title of this second hour is going to be Racism Does Not Exist. It is a word invented by communist Leon Trotsky. The word racist has for a long time been the single most effective fear word in the leftist and neoconservative arsenal. For decades, they have successfully used it in the political arena to slander traditionalists, shut down debate, and leave opponents running for cover. In the social arena, they have caused even more damage by using it to brainwash impressionable children and young college students, and to teach people to hate their union, their cultural traditions, and worst of all, themselves. What surprisingly remains almost totally undiscussed, even on the hardcore traditionalist right, is the word's origin. Did it come from a liberal sociologist, a 60s Marxist college professor, perhaps a politician in the Democratic Party, maybe? Nope. It turns out that the word was invented by none other than one of the principal architects of the 74-year Soviet nightmare, the founder and its first leader of the infamous Red Army, Leon Trotsky. There is a document written in Russian that we will be publishing on resurrecttherepublic.com that proves this to be so. It is his work. Leon Trotsky's 1930 work, The History of the Russian Revolution, from which is shown in this document that we will share. The last word in that passage, written in Russian, whose Latin translation is Rastitov, racists. This work here, in the first time in history one will ever find that word. My more doubtful readers may check the internet, the microfiche and microfilm at the local library, as well as the numerous books arrayed along the shelves there, but they shall never find an earlier usage of the word racist than Trotsky's coinage of the word in that document. So the next logical question is, what was Leon Trotsky's purpose in inventing this word? To find out, we can look at a full English translation of the paragraph, and I will share that with you. Slavophilism, the messianism of backwardness, has based its philosophy upon the assumption that the Russian people and their church are democratic through and through, whereas official Russia is a German bureaucracy imposed upon them by Peter the Great. Mark remarked upon this theme in the same way the Teutonic jackasses blame the despotism of Frederick II upon the French, as though backward slaves were not always in need of civilized slaves to train them. This brief comment completely finishes off not only the old philosophy of the Slavophiles, but the latest revelations of the racists. These are the words of Leon Trotsky. Folks, we've been duped. We have seriously been duped. We are joined, this conversation, we are joined by a friend of mine. His name is John Mesmer. And he will be joining us in discussing the truth behind what really is. And you know, the fact of the matter is, there is bigotry, there is prejudice, there is no such thing as racism. Isn't that right there, my friend John?
That's exactly right. There's only one race, and that's the human race.
Amen.
As a matter of fact, an associated word, racism, what year do you might think was the first known use of the word racism? Well, I won't keep you guessing. It's 1933. Imagine that.
Yep.
I don't think there's any coincidences. So 1933 was obviously an important year in the fraud process that's been ongoing. And it's just probably no coincidence that's the first known use of that word. And furthermore, according to Merriam-Webster, when you look up the word race, what does the word race mean? The only definition for the word race on Webster's dictionary is pertaining to, like, running race. There's nothing about, you know, separating out groups of people based on, you know, various ethnic backgrounds and things like that, and then calling that race. However, on Webster, there is definitions for the word, for the words racism, racist. So what that tells me is that the misdirect in the use of the term racist, racism, is also misdirecting Webster's dictionary. Because if racism and racist were legitimate terms as they're used in our society today, then the word race, which is the root of those other words, would have a definition pertaining to that. And it does not.
That's right. You know, it brings to mind, you know, comments that have been made by different people, you know, going back, patriot folks. Clive and Bundy himself, they tried turning him into being some sort of racist. Because, and what he was trying to say one day, and he was basically trying to say that, you know, what he sees when he drove through certain sections of Las Vegas was essentially a ghetto, and in the ghetto, life seems to be dangerous and miserable. And he made an offhanded comment that, you know, were they not, in, you know, perhaps in better stead back in the day when you know prior to the Civil War. And he wasn't saying that they should be enslaved or that we should go back to slavery. What he was saying was actually, ironically, that at least their families were more together and they had a better lifestyle then than they do today. What are we doing? Which, you know, so of course they took it out of context, what he was trying to say. And rather than understand what he was saying was that what's happening to these people is a travesty. And it's the part of the travesty is that they are being programmed from cradle to grave to believe that they are victims. And when you grow up believing that somebody's out to get you, and that the reason that they're out to get you is because of the tone of your skin, that's one of the most difficult things that you can ever overcome. This faceless force out there called institutionalized racism is keeping you down. So it very easily gives people the ability to throw their personal responsibility to the wind. They're programmed and taught that if you're white, which is something that doesn't even exist, we have cultures. And these cultures are, for instance, I'm Italian and Scottish. I come from two different European cultures. Okay, this is one of the reasons why I haven't gotten behind the hashtags of white genocide. They're not destroying whites. They're destroying our individual cultures, and they're using these other cultures to destroy us, all the while just creating divide and conquer, because divided, we can never be strong enough to overcome it. It's really rather maniacally brilliant.
It is. As a matter of fact,
it makes me, but it is what it is.
Yeah, exactly. The American culture, the American spirit, you know, that frontier spirit that we've had for so long and that we've been losing rapidly, that is a culture that they are trying to destroy. Now, just because that culture may be predominant in, you know, European migrants to the Americas, that's really insignificant, because there's actually plenty of other ethnicities and cultures that came along with it. But that's what they're trying to destroy now with that divide and conquer and all the racism. And, you know, it's not necessarily the white skin that they're trying to wipe out. It's the American spirit that they're trying to wipe out, the American culture.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Hi, Lori, by the way.
Hi, dear. How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Good, good, good to hear. And, you know, one of the things that I'll add into this, too, with Trotsky, okay, I was reading on him, and many people do not realize that he was Leninist, and he also, it says in 1897, Trotsky helped found the Southern Russian Workers Union. He was arrested within a year and spent 2 years in prison before being tried and convicted and sent to Siberia for a four-year sentence. And so after that, they had, it says that that Trotsky, he managed to make his way to London, England, where he joined the Socialist Democratic Party and met Vladimir Lenin. And that's what I was talking about Lenin. So if individuals want a really interesting research, look up the Socialist Democratic Party. And a lot of individuals who sit in Congress right now are part of the Socialist Democratic Party. Did y'all know that?
I didn't know that he made his way to London and met Lenin there and joined that party in that context. So that's definitely new.
Mm-hmm.
But I think people would be, just like you said, I think they'd be amazed at how many people that sit in Congress right now are really, truly socialists. And that there's really two parties within the Democrat Party, and that's almost just down to one at this point, but the Socialist Democrats.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and of course you got the neocon Democrats as well, too, so.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Combined.
Yeah, the illusion, we're under no illusion that there's not much of a difference between Republican and Democrat. It's the illusion of choice. As a matter of fact, later on, once we're able to, after we cover this topic about the racism, I wanted to bring something up that I think everybody needs to hear. It's something that was actually released today.
Go ahead on.
No hint?
No hint? Do y'all want me to go ahead and cover it? It's off.
Don't tease us like that.
Okay. Well, you know, I've got to keep people in suspension. Now, like I said, this is not on topic of the racism issue, though. So I want to know, you know, do we want to finish covering that and then get to the other? Because I don't want to get people off topic, really.
No, I don't. You know, if it's off topic, so what? I mean, give us good information. It doesn't matter. You know, we can get into Leon Trotsky and the neoconservative Trotskyites and the liberal progressive Marxocrats all the time, anytime. So, I mean, if you got something you want to share, it's throw it in the pot time, man.
Okay, well then I'm going to share to the listeners that most of them probably don't know because, and they especially don't know if they're following me on Google Plus because Google Plus wouldn't let me post it. Thank you for your censorship. God bless you, Google. I will pray for you. You know what? I'm going to pray for them because, you know, God is above all, sees all things. And, a lot of times they have tried to do that to me and silence me, and then miraculously it just comes back up. Okay, so now back on topic to all the listeners. Senator Rand Paul spoke today. He is forcing the Congress and the Senate to actually speak about, are you ready for this? A resolution to block $1.15 billion in arms sales to Saudi Arabia. Now, mind you, this is on top of the $100 billion we have already given to Saudi Arabia. Now, with that being said, in this full video, in the full video of it, he admits that these arms belong to the American people. And he admits that the American people have not given or granted permission to give these arms to Saudi Arabia for them to be bombing civilians over in Yemen. Now, that's what they're doing. They're giving the arms to, quote-unquote, ISIS. They're giving the arms to, quote-unquote, terrorists. And they're using the arms we are giving them, not we the people, by the way, the corrupt politicians being the we, not we the people, because none of we the people agree with this. And they're also refueling their fighter jets, all right, for them to go bomb over in Yemen, which is already being reported over 3,000 innocent civilians have been killed by this. So I've got a video to share. It's not the full video, but Mike, if you would, roll that video so we can hear what Rand Paul has to say about this.
It's something that should be debated because it's not just about selling arms. It's about whether or not we will be complicit in a war in Yemen. If there is no debate in Congress, if there is no debate in the public, are we ready to spend lives and money and treasure on another war in Yemen? People will say, oh, no big deal. We're not really at war in Yemen. Well, yes, we are. We are refueling Saudi bombers that are dropping bombs in Yemen. There are said to be over 3,000 innocent people who have died in Yemen from Saudi bombs. What do you think happens to those families when 100 people die at a wedding in Yemen? What do you think happens to those families? Do you think they have a warm, fuzzy feeling for Saudi Arabia and the United States that's helping to pick the targets and fuel the planes? Don't you think we as a country ought to have a debate before we go to war? Don't you think we ought to read the Constitution? Our founding fathers had a significant, detailed, and explicit debate over war. They explicitly took the power to declare war, and they gave it to the legislature. Madison wrote that the executive is the branch most prone to war. Therefore, with studied care, the Constitution took the power to declare war and vested it in the legislature. This is repeated throughout the Federalist Papers. It is repeated by all of our founding fathers that the power to initiate war was too important to place in the hands of one individual. But over the last decade and a half, we've been at war in Libya without the permission of the American people or Congress. We've been at war in Syria and Iraq without the permission of the American people. And now we are at war in Yemen without the approval of Congress or the American people. So this is a twofold debate today. It's a debate over whether or not the United States should be at war without a vote of Congress. And I think our founding fathers were clear on this. It was absolutely certain that it was supposed to be a prerogative of Congress. But there's also practical concerns. Some have come to the floor and said, well, Saudi Arabia is an imperfect ally. Well, I'd go a little bit farther. Saudi Arabia has often done things that have not been good for America and not been in our national interest and not been consistent with our understanding of human rights. Let's give a few examples. The girl of Qatif was raped by 7 men. Saudi Arabia put her in prison for the crime of being alone with a man. You see, it's a woman's fault because women don't get to testify. The testimony comes from her attackers, and the woman of Qatif was given 7 years in prison and 200 lashes. There is a poet who was writing in Indonesia who was Saudi Arabian who was picked up by Interpol and taken home to be given the death penalty for possible criticism of the state religion. There is a young 19-year-old man who is a Shia, a minority, who was a protester at a rally at, I think, 17. Actually, I think he's 21 now. He's been in prison for 4 years. His uncle was beheaded by the government a month or two ago and was, by all appearances, a religious leader, not a collaborator, not an espionage perpetrator. The young man is now 21, been in prison for 4 years. He faces beheading in Saudi Arabia. And you might say, well, human rights just aren't important. We need to do what's important for us in the region. Well, we've given Saudi Arabia $100 billion worth of weapons. $100 billion. Okay, we didn't give it to them. We sold it to them. But you know what? I think the taxpayer owns our weaponry. We have an ownership interest in our weaponry. This is not the free market. The weaponry was developed with taxpayer money and with explicit reservations that we, Congress, can control who it's sold to. So we do need to ask, and it's an important debate, and we should be having it here in this body instead of leaving it up to the president, having the debate, is Saudi Arabia a good ally? Well, we've had this war in Syria for some time now. And it's a messy war, and it's a sectarian war. Most of the rebel groups are Sunni Muslim, and the government is more allied, they're Alawite, but more allied with the Shiites. So in this war, there have been hundreds and hundreds of tons of weapons, some by us, but maybe tenfold more by Saudi Arabia and Qatar. And there have been public report after public report after public report saying that these weapons that we are pouring, or Saudi Arabia is pouring in to Saudi Arabia, have been given indiscriminately. They have been weapons that some would say, oh, they're being given to the pro-Americans. One group said they, when they were done with Assad, they would go after Israel. Doesn't sound like people that are necessarily our friends. But many of these weapons, according to public reports, that Saudi Arabia has bought from us and channeled into Syria, have gone to al-Nusra, an off-branch of al-Qaeda. They used the justification to go to war in Syria, the 9/11 justification that said we would go after those who attacked us. I thought that was al-Qaeda. And now we're giving arms to Saudi Arabia that's giving arms to al-Qaeda, al-Nusra. And there have been some reports that the arms have gone directly to ISIS. I think it's been indiscriminate, inexcusable, and not in our national interest. How do we know what's in our national interest? You have to have a debate. Instead, Congress wants to be a lapdog for an imperial presidency, Republican or Democrat, rubber stamp, here you go. Not even a rubber stamp, no vote, no discussion, nothing. We are forcing this debate against the wishes of both parties, because both parties are complicit in this. This is not a Republican versus Democrat thing. This is a bipartisan consensus, foreign policy consensus, that says we should always give weapons without conditions, indiscriminately. $100 billion of weapons to Saudi Arabia, more than any other president. President Obama has given more. And you say, why does he do this? Well, because we released about $100 billion worth of Iranian assets, And the Saudis bug him and say, well, Iran's getting all this money. We need to get some, too. We need weapons as well, because you let Iran have money back to buy weapons. So it fuels an arms race over there. But the great irony of this, and is something that is so ironic that this body cannot overcome, is that unanimously this body voted to let 9/11 victims sue Saudi Arabia. Now, why would we let them sue that unless the people who voted unanimously actually believe that there's a possibility Saudi Arabia had something to do with 9/11? So the body that voted unanimously that there's a possibility that Saudi Arabia had something to do with 9/11 is now going to vote overwhelmingly to send weapons to the country they think might have had something to do with 9/11. Saudi Arabia, ally or enemy? I sometimes call them frenemy. I'm not arguing that they never do anything that's good for us. They do on occasion. But they also do many things that aren't good for us. As we look through the list of things, and we look through the arms that have been channeled into this region, you know, we wonder, will we be better off? Will our national security be better off or worse off? So, for example, as the weapons that Saudi Arabia poured into Syria, they pushed back Assad, and there became a vacuum in the Syrian civil war. Guess who came to occupy that vacuum? Guess who grew stronger and stronger in the absence of Assad and in the chaos of the civil war? ISIS.
Now, that you're not going to hear on what? Mainstream.
Unbelievable.
Is that not amazing? He admits, first of all, like I told you, we've already $100 billion in arms to Saudi Arabia. He admits about them arming the terrorists in Syria. He admits that the arms belong to we the people, not the quote-unquote federal government. We the people paid for those arms, and without our permission, they are funding, training, and arming terrorists. And the last time I checked, that is treason, because you are arming those that are enemies of our union.
And that's $100 billion of weapons that they're admitting to, that's on the books. You can bet there's much more than that they're not going to confess to immediately.
Right, and this right. $1.15 billion is on top of the $100 billion. So, if everybody would,
with us.
All right, after
we gotta go to
our
break.
Sponsor, we'll be right back.
Yes, ma'am.
Let me tell you how it's going to work, kids. You work hard like your parents both did. Everything you earn by breaking your backs. We're going to redistribute when we make our big tax.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Attention CPAP users. Stop the insanity and torture of your CPAP mask. Don't you hate the skin irritation and terrible leaks? Jump on the CPAP Pro train. Invented by an actual CPAP user that became so frustrated with CPAP masks. Are you ready to try something new? With absolutely no straps or headgear, go to nomask.com and get the best night's sleep ever. Free to Medicare patients. Go to nomask.com. That's NOMASK.com.
If your home has hard water, then it's likely that Limescale is clogging your pipes, damaging your appliances, costing you hundreds of dollars each year. You can eliminate Limescale in the entire house with HydroCare products available at Wave Home Solutions. Easy and efficient with no maintenance, no salts, no chemicals, and no coils. And you can buy with confidence from Wave Home Solutions. Performance guaranteed. Just go to bestwater411.com. That's bestwater411.com.
While the large majority of Americans have never heard of cryptocurrency, it is the medium of exchange of the future that has already begun. On the other hand, the large majority of RBN listeners are very aware of the corruption within the Fed and the trillions in counterfeit money and credit it has created. Well, would you like to do something about this? OneCoin, the fastest growing company of any kind in world history, will pay you to help do away with the Federal Reserve. Henry Ford didn't invent the automobile, but he surely developed many great improvements in the industry. In 1927, talking pictures made silent movies obsolete overnight, and email has practically done away with the need for a fax machine. With cryptocurrency, Bitcoin became the pioneer in 2009. But now OneCoin, as the first ever gold-backed cryptocurrency, has moved to the top of the industry in only 2 years, and its impact on the financial world could be devastating to the Fed. Bill Gates and Richard Branson and all the jillionaires are already acknowledging that this system of paying for goods and services is becoming what will be recognized as the new worldwide reserve currency. For more information, call Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911. Again, that's Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Resurrect Republic, Truth Radio broadcast on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Well, this has been a kind of eclectic do-all show.
Absolutely. We have to keep our listeners informed on all the things that are going on.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I did want to make a point about, back to the racism thing real quick.
Yes.
Which I think is really, really, really important. We're being manipulated so badly that many of our listeners right now, I've heard these statements, and I want to give an explanation to these folks as to why I haven't jumped on certain things. I have, but I haven't. And what I mean by that is, there's this hashtag that goes around on the alternative right. You'll see white genocide, right? That we're under a white genocide. And the reason that I want to make mention of this is because our language is being manipulated.
Mm-hmm.
We are essentially being programmed to use this Marxist terminology to defend ourselves, when what we are facing are culture wars. And the reason that Trotsky invented this word and pushed it out there, and the reason you'll hear it on Fox News over and over and over again, they use the term racism, 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 is because that's part of the neoconservative agenda. Is communist, it is Marxist, it's just covert.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you'll hear these talking heads on Fox News saying racism, racism, racism. Every time they use the word, if I were one of these commentators and I were honest, I would say racism, a term created by Leon Trotsky. And then I would go on to say whatever I had to say. But right. They don't do that. They are using Trotsky's terminology. Now, and I give people a for instance to what I'm talking about by racism doesn't exist. When you have, I have a few friends that are well-educated, they were what you could consider by these racist this Marxist ideology to be black, but they're not black, they're Americans. And they may be of either African or maybe Native American descent. I don't know. I don't know what DNA they have in them, but they're American.
It doesn't matter.
Right, it doesn't matter. That's the point that I'm making, is these folks that I was born and raised with, we've been friends with our whole lives, we played with each other when we were kids, and we don't know, we didn't know, especially when we were kids, the difference between one or the other of us. We looked a little different, that was about it. But you see, here's the difference in culture. You take those folks, and then you take a group of three or four of these inner city youth. And I don't care if they're white or black. When they're walking down the street with their pants hanging down, with their butt sticking out, when they have gold teeth and they're abusing, destroying the English language, when they're acting ignorant and they blame the world for every problem that they've experienced, doing anything but accepting personal responsibility, when they've embraced this Marxist ideology, not only embraced it and are forcing it down our throats so that we're using this language, but they're overtly acting as though, because we are white, which we are not, we are, I'm of Scottish culture, I'm a little bit of Italian culture, but more importantly, of American culture, a traditional American culture. These folks are not traditional Americans. They have embraced a foreign ideology, and they're calling themselves American, but they are not.
Mm-hmm.
These are Marxists. These are not Americans.
Yeah, and they're using these Trotskyite terms to prevent us from being able to criticize or you know, expose the true problem, which is the subversive cultures that they're infecting our society with. So, you know, if they put a color on all these subversive cultures and then call us racist and all this stuff, it shuts a lot of
yes. Oh, we have a caller on the line, John. Fred, is Fred still with us? I'm sorry, I tried to get to him. Fred, are you there?
Yeah, Tom, can you hear me?
Yes, I'm sorry it's been so long, brother.
Okay, now, Tom, I'm usually pretty brief, but I'm asking for time.
Okay.
You covered a lot of ground. All right, I believe in separatism, and I'm going to explain that later on.
Okay.
But I want to cover a few subjects before that. Now, Renee in North Carolina, which I hold in high regard, he put out a website, and I strongly suggest people check it out. The Power of Principles. The Power of Principles. It's 4 hours and 27 minutes.
Okay.
And that's till you end. Now, let's go to the race card. And what you said, Tom, which is a fact, how Fox and the mass media divide and conquer it. But,
yeah.
But this is happening on RBN.
I know.
And I can't use the word, SOB, but any SOB or SOBSs, plurals, that pull the race card, other words, white supremacy, the blacks, and the Jews. Now, when you denigrate one race, then you can not only ostracize them, you can kill them. But
yes,
that's divide and conquer. You said that Fox News and puts this stuff out, and boys that go around with their britches with their bottoms sticking out a little bit, it's taking that from a foreign culture. No, Tom. They're taking it from our government propaganda. That's where they're getting it, and they're getting it on the lamestream media. But the terrible thing that is happening is the alternative media is starting to mirror the lamestream media, and the alternative media has been infiltrated, and I can't use the word, I could say J, and the first thing people would say or think that I'm meaning Jews. No, there's another J out there that has infiltrated every city.
Jesuit.
And every hamlet and every Protestant on earth. Okay.
Absolutely. That's what their goal is.
Now, you're in a hell of a predicament, my friend, and you talk to me. You know where I'm coming from.
And yes, sir.
Use the word, you have to use discretion. But time is limited, and the word has to be gotten out. Now, I'm not going to name things, but you know where I'm coming from. I had three issues that I wanted to put out, and I have tried and to some extent got them out in 2 years and 7 months. And one was exposing the first and the second beast. The
yep.
Second one is don't join the military. And the third one is the agenda of the new age. But by God, I used to call in here in Iowa to the powerful station talk radio, and I got blackballed, of course, and I couldn't get this information out and have no discussion or dialogue. But I'm getting blackballed on RBN, and I'm not going to name names.
But well, you're not blackballed here ever.
Yeah, I know that. I know that. And I've said, and you understand, I do not want to hurt or harm you, and that's why I'm reticent. And I'll tell you, I hold Hinckley also in very high respect and esteem. And I don't want to hurt good people. But I think I've blasted on enough. And you know where I'm coming from, what we've got to fight. And by God, I don't want to get blackballed completely off of RBN. But because it could do so much good. But right now, it is putting out a little more good than bad. When it goes 50-50, then I am not a friend no more. Okay, you guys, Lori and John and Tom, have a good evening, and God bless you, and you
Thank
are
you, Fred.
In prayers. Goodbye.
God bless you, dear, and you have a good night.
God bless you. And you know what? He's absolutely right. And you know, I don't talk about them enough, and I have to especially because of my background. And that's all I'm going to say about that. But I will say, I am a Protestant Christian by choice. My mother comes from a long history and a very long line of Protestant Christians, and I know for a fact that the principal primary goal of the Jesuit is to destroy Protestantism and any opposition to the papacy that exists. In fact, their oath is so over the top that they must promise to do so. And when I say Protestantism, for a lot of Christians out there, I mean a more pure view and belief in the Bible for what it says. In other words, it says in the Bible that the Sabbath day is on Saturday. Well, very few Christians realize that it was changed to Sunday by the Pope. And the authority that the Pope claimed to change it to Sunday was his authority, not God's. And he did so to show his power. A lot of people don't know that. Anyway, Lori wants to get something in there. Go ahead, hon.
Well, I wanted to let everybody know this is dealing with health care. They have had also a congressional hearing about the EpiPens. And the reason they were doing this is because the manufacturer, even though this was a quote-unquote private manufacturer that manufactures EpiPens, you need to understand, this quote-unquote private manufacturer has paid and lobbied Congress and has put themselves in the realm of being questioned by the federal government because they interjected themselves into the federal government wanting contracts and stuff with schools and the different things. Now, the reason that they're holding this hearing is because the price of the EpiPens went up to over $600. And what is exposed in this hearing is the cost of the serum. Are you ready for this, Tom? Any kind of guess of how much it costs for just the serum to make $1. $1. So they're holding congressional hearings, and I chose one of Representative Mulvaney. And the reason I did that was because he did such an amazing job. I believe he really needs to get some credit for this. He is really on it. The EpiPen hearing was held also. It was published today, so I don't know if it was held yesterday or today, but it was definitely published today. And I would recommend individuals who are listeners go on YouTube, subscribe to Oversight and Reform, because you will get the hearings that they are doing that people do not get out there. If you could, Mike, can you play the clip of Representative Mulvaney, and he is addressing the lady, the manufacturer, over the EpiPen cost.
Go.
Because I got to tell you, as someone who considers himself to be a free market Republican, part of me has been uncomfortable with where some of this hearing has gone. I wish we were talking, instead of what we've been talking about why Mylan can charge $600 for this or $300 for a generic or whatever. Because I think that would be a really good discussion about why this same exact product costs between $100 and $150 in Europe. The same exact thing from the same exact manufacturer costs $100 to $150 in Europe. In fact, I think you can get it over the counter in Europe for $75. One of the reasons, by the way, is that there's 9 different people making the stuff in Europe. Because it's easier to get drugs approved in Europe, Mr. Throckmorton, than it is here. I've heard you talk today about this new 10-month plan. And you keep telling us, and it's sort of, well, we have a 10-month plan that starts October 1st, which makes me wonder how long did it really take before this became a big national deal. My guess is it takes a long time to get this stuff approved. And one of the reasons they can charge $300 or $600 is because it's too hard to get new products approved in this country. My understanding is that an EpiPen competitor would be even more difficult to get stuff approved because it's both a drug and a delivery device. By the way, for those of you, when this hasn't come up, the stuff doesn't cost anything. This is one of the oldest chemicals that we use. I think this stuff is more than 100 years old, and on the internet it says it costs between like 10 cents and 95 cents a vial for the stuff. It's a completely generic, it's adrenaline. It's really easy to make the stuff and really easy to get the stuff. But for some reason in this country, there's really only one provider. So if you can really charge $600 for it and people will pay for it, why aren't more people rushing in to make the stuff so that they can get a piece of this huge market? Because it's too hard to get the darn stuff approved. And that's what I wish we were talking about. Ms. Bresch, I wish we could talk about what you talked about in your CNBC article about how crazy the pricing is. Because it is bizarre. And we buy stuff in the healthcare market in ways that we don't buy anywhere else. The reason that this same product is more expensive every single year, when everything else in this room gets less expensive every year, is because it's in the healthcare market, which doesn't function properly. And we could have talked about that and how hard it is to figure out how much stuff costs and the five and six people that touch it before, between the time it comes out of your product and gets in the hands of the customer. We didn't talk about that. Instead, we talked about your profit margins with people who have no clue what that means. We talked about distribution facilities. We talked about costs of goods sold. We talk about board meetings. We talk about your salary. We talk about a bunch of stuff that tries to make a lot of us look really good. Somebody in my own party said that there's no way you could really earn $18 million a year. That bothers me, okay? And I'm not comfortable with that. But at the same time, Ms. Bresch, and I've had this conversation with other people who've sat in that same chair, you get what you deserve. Not because you're a bad person, not because you're charging too much or too little for a drug. Nobody in here has any clue as to whether or not you're charging too much or too little. We don't like it, we know that. But we don't understand the cost. We don't understand the distribution system. We don't understand how healthcare products get priced and sold and distributed. To you, what we do know, though, is that you've been in these hallways to ask us to make people buy your stuff. In fact, I think there's laws in 11 states now that require schools to have epinephrine in some immediately deliverable fashion. You've lobbied us to make the taxpayer buy your stuff. At the federal level, we passed the law here. We did it, by the way. I was here when we did it. Everybody was here when we did it. We did it in 2013. It went by voice vote, one of those magical things that happens when we're not on the floor. The White House called it the EpiPen Bill. And it gave this wonderful financial incentive to all of our schools to have this product in the schools. My guess is that didn't happen by magic. It may have happened because your mother works for the State School Boards Association, whatever the group is. It may happen because your dad is a U.S. senator. But you came and you asked the government to get in your business. So here we are today. And I was as uncomfortable with some of these questions as you were, I'm certain, sitting over there. But I have to defend both my Republican and Democratic colleagues because you've asked for it. So I guess this is my message. If you want to come into Washington, if you want to come into the state capitals and lobby us to make us buy your stuff, this is what you get. You get a level of scrutiny and a level of treatment that would ordinarily curl my hair, but you asked for it. I wish it weren't like that. I wish you could go off and make your stuff, and I wish the market functioned, and I wish you didn't get government involved, but that's not the world we live in. And since it is, I have to defend every single question that was asked of you today, and I wish I had questions of my own, and I do, but I've only got 5 seconds left, so I'm not going to get a chance to ask them. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
So, the amazing thing that came out of this, in this hearing, she admits that they're going to come up with a generic, that it's the same formula, but it's just a different label. She admits this to Chairman Chaffetz. And with her admitting that, it also shows that because they're going to start direct selling it, that they're actually going to have a higher profit margin. But the real deal is this. There was another gentleman, and I don't know his name right off the top of my head, and the gentleman was asked by Mr. Chaffetz if the FDA had a list of individual companies who are making the same type of EpiPen type situation that would be generic or a different company, and are they on the waiting list? The man refused to answer. Well, of course, because the FDA is part of the problem. The FDA is stopping it from going through, which is not, of course, admitted, but they're helping to stop it from going through so that this specific company can have a monopoly on adrenaline, which costs $1 for the serum tops, and they're charging over $600. They're claiming they're going to, oh, we've cut the price in half. We're going to do the EpiPen for $300. You're going to get two vials. And in that $300, when Mr. Chaffetz asked, what's the difference in the formula? Oh, nothing. It's the same formula. So, but what they admitted to was when they're going to do the direct sale, because there is no middleman in that, what happens is they're actually going to make a higher profit margin than they would at the 600 and some odd dollar cost because of the middleman of the pharmacy and the doctors and all of that good little stuff. And this woman put herself in the hot seat, and that company put themselves in the hot seat because they were lobbying Congress in order to make sure that their life-saving medication, by the way, for people who go in anaphylactic shock, is only available through them. So you might want to really look it up. It's on Oversight and Reform as well. And of course, Tom, we'll get that on RTR as well.
Absolutely.
It wouldn't be a problem them getting $600 for that if it was truly free market they were operating in and had competition.
Well, if it was through the free market, then what you're going to have, if the FDA wasn't involved with it, you would have competition and it would be less for the people. The people could decide instead of, but it's not truly free market when they're part of the monopoly.
Guys,
exactly.
I have a little bit of sad news. Actor, and look, I don't know his politics, really. I stayed away from his politics, but I loved his movies. Actor Tommy Chong, best known for his 70s movies, Cheech and Chong, lost his battle with cancer, and he has passed away. This was reported. And the reason that I say so is we're almost running out of time, and I love Cheech and Chong movies.
Yeah, they were.
Sorry, Tommy, he was funny as heck, all I have to say is, who is it? It's Dave, man. It's Dave. Let me in.
He's not here.
Dave's not here, man.
Wow. Wow. Well, that's really sad. And I would ask that all the listeners, please remember his family.
Yeah. His son was a good guy. As a matter of fact, what made me think about his son, they were selling water pipes, right? And they got raided, and his son was involved, Tommy took a jail sentence to keep his son out of trouble. He wow. pled guilty instead of fighting it. He took a deal that essentially let his son off the hook, and his son really. The sick thing was, and the reason that I bring it up is because it's another example of a government run amok. They were gunning for Tommy Chong because of the water pipe business. And it's just, this government has its priorities so screwed up. They go after Cheech and Chong, man.
Let's not forget, everybody. Call your representatives. Tell them, heck no. We are not sending arms to Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
All kinds of fits.
Prosecute a water pipe dealer, but send our money to Saudi Arabia. Go imagine that.
God bless you. Good night. Come back to us next time.
Yeah, man. Thanks for joining, John. We got to have you back on. We'll see you guys later. Resurrect the Republic Truth Radio broadcast on RBN.
Interested in photo ops.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of 7 herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day.
Hey, Dave's not here, man.
928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Sin.